Welcome in our midst again this morning, dear congregation. As we gather here, we are reminded that we're in the Lord's tabernacle, and David writes, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out to thee, the living God." May that be our portion this morning. Let's stand and let us pray together and receive the blessing of God. Our help is in thy name, O Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth, in thee who keepeth truth forever, in thee who never forsakes the works of thy hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, let us sing together with Psalter 241. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. Psalter 241, stanzas 1 through 5. Well, let us listen to this mighty Jehovah as he speaks to us from Exodus 20, he reminds us of his divine and eternal will. Let's follow that with the singing of 69, verse 1 and 2. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Let us now listen to the Lord's words from John 13, beginning from verse 36. And then we will go to chapter 14, verse 14. So we'll just pick up on John 13, verse 36. And we hear the word of God as follows. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So far, the Scriptures readings for this morning. In prayer, let us remember the needs of our church family, the joys and the concerns of Mrs. Dirksen, the joy of Ben and Elaine with the birth of Audrey. We were also asked by our governor to pray today for the family of the slain firefighter. It's nice that our governor still asks for prayer. And so let us this morning also remember Mitchell Lundberg's family, who was killed this week in line of duty, leaving behind a wife and three still young children. So let us pray together. Dear Lord, as we gather here in this special moment, in the beginning of a new week, and what privileged people we are, for we don't come to meet with thee. It is thou who comes to meet with us. And that, O gracious God, must fill our heart with joy and thanksgiving, humility, and sacred sense of awe, but it also fills our heart with prayer. For Lord, thou knowest what hinders us all in seeing and hearing and sensing thy gracious presence. For gracious it is indeed. Thou dost not come here, Lord, to make an end of it. Thou dost not bring thy word to us to seal the final moment of our condemnation. Thou comes again among us to proclaim the tidings that have echoed through this world from the very dawn of history. And therefore, gracious Lord, we thank thee this morning. It is by thee alone that we exist. It is out of thy hand we enjoy our family, our friends, our congregation. It is out of thy hand we have a healthy body and mind to attend here today to church. And it is also of thee that we may hear the sweet tidings of grace, mercy. Oh, what shall we give thee? Touch thou our hearts and lips today, Lord, that we may give a genuine thanks offering. Thou hast never dealt with us, with any of us, according as we deal with thee. Thou hast never given us what we deserve. Instead, thou treats us as if we are the most loyal subjects. And Lord, there are indeed those among us who know they're not. And we all are not. And therefore, gracious God, even that already exalts thee, when so we may observe thy one-sided goodness to come to us today. We've gone through a week of work, a week of interactions with the world, a week, O Lord, in which we fell ourselves many times in our hearts, in our words, in our deeds, a week where we have soiled ourselves with new sin, and therefore indeed we are in need of cleansing, of refreshment, O God, of being brought back from broad ways on narrow way. We need thee, gracious shepherd. And we pray therefore this morning that we may experience thy shepherding hands to lead our thoughts. Allow us not to be distracted, Lord, with whatever buys and sellers are on our doorstep. But neither let us be discouraged or despondent, as Thomas seemed to be. And Lord, that also did open up thy mouth to even declare more plainly to these disciples what thou wast trying to tell them already. And we pray therefore, O gracious shepherd, as thou so gently and so faithfully taught those disciples, may we so experience thy teachings today. We're just like them. We can hear thy truth for so long and still don't get it. We can hear and be reminded, Lord, of thy precious promises and still not believe it. Lord, thou knows what hinders us, not only from hearing, but also from believing. Thou knows, O God, how to take care of us, how to teach us. We don't have to tell thee how to do it, Lord, but we bring ourselves and our needs before thy throne this morning. Lead us in the way, in the truth, and in the life. Teach us, Lord, to come unto thee through thy Son, Jesus Christ, as he taught us here in this morning already. And so gather our souls. Prepare our hearts to receive thy word. And Lord, prepare us indeed by taking away what obstacles there are. There can be deadness, and we don't hear at all. There'll be disinterest, and we rather look outside. There can be prejudice. And so we filter what we hear through what we think. And Lord, please, will Thou deliver us from our thinking when it is not biblical, when it hinders us from understanding and receiving the Word as it is written. There can be enmity, Lord, in our heart. And that is there by nature. We have no longing for the gospel way of salvation. Matter of fact, Lord, we are hostile to it. As strange as it sounds. For why would we be hostile to something that is saving? But Lord, now Thou knows how to cure us all from all those maladies and to bring us to the deliverance. We plead that Thy truth may affect us. Stir the waters within, Lord. Prick the conscience. Move our hearts. Let there be sensible impressions of Thy truths. For if they are lacking, O God, then Thou knowest, then we will walk out of here without doing anything with the word Thou art bringing to us. And so, gracious God, Thou knowest the mindset of Thomas and Philip and the other brothers are still with us today. So teach Thou all of Thy children among us also. Lead us further in the knowledge of that only name. And also enable us continually to place our trust in that finished work of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, as Thou knowest Thy people also gathered throughout this whole world today. Indeed, so sadly that unity is deeply obscured and the spiritual beauty sadly disfigured by all the divisions that mar and weaken Thy body. But there's also cultural barriers and language barriers and geographical barriers and political barriers that separate Thy children, Lord. Now what will it be one day when Thou would gather all of them into the Father's house as one family of God? O gracious Lord, we pray that Thou would prepare us and hasten the day that Thou hast promised to come back and to return upon this earth and to turn the entire world into the Father's house. What will that be beautiful? When there will be no more brokenness and divisions and pain and sin. No more, Lord, that distracts us from that gracious work of worshiping Thee and loving one another as we love ourselves. So, gracious Lord, we pray that Thou endow every preacher and our student preachers with Thy Holy Spirit to exalt the gospel of Jesus Christ and to preach the law and the gospel, the death and the life, the darkness and the light, the deadness and the life eternal. O Thou, help us all to preach with clarity and simplicity and compassion. And with conviction. And Lord, may we also believe what we preach. And so speak out of the conviction of our own hearts. And the experience of our own life. Strengthen mission laborers. Bless Lord, especially Jeff and Beek, as he now may begin to take up his labor in Loma Alta. Help him with the language barriers. And bless also all the other team members in Bolivia, if they're preaching or teaching or school, whatever they may do. Well, Thou bless, Lord, all those who are evangelists throughout this world. the mission work in other countries, the teaching of pastors and congregations, also those who work in prisons, also, Lord, in our local prisons. We lift it all before Thee and pray that Thou would graciously strengthen Thy kingdom through those labors. We give thanks this morning for the prosperous birth of Audrey. Thou hast blessed Ben and Elaine, Lord, and their families with great gladness. Will Thou please strengthen Elaine again from the surgery, and will Thou bless this family, Lord, that they may experience much joy with one another also of this child. We pray for Mrs. Dirksen in the continued weakness and weakening. Lord, will Thou be with Wes, and will Thou be with Dee, and others of our elderly that may not be here this morning, or that may be here. Will Thou give strength to carry the limitations of our elderly age, and especially give grace to face the end. And yet, Lord, the end may not be on the end of our life. As a 37-year-old father found his death in line of duty this week, we pray for the family of Mitchell Lundgaard, his dear wife and three children, Lord, and his team and all those that know him. We will Thou protect our men in line of duty, and will Thou give, Lord, that through this so untraceable steps of Thee, good may come that we cannot anticipate. So hear us now, O faithful Father of all mercies. Pardon our sins, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing Psalm 255. Now with joyful exultation, let us sing. And we sing to Jehovah's praise, to the rock of our salvation. Loud hosannas, let us raise. Psalm 255, we will sing all five verses, and today there are two opportunities to give your gifts unto the Lord and His kingdom. The first is for the general fund, and the second today is for the mission fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
and share. Girls and boys, could you think for a moment with me? Imagine tonight you sit at the table with your mom and dad, and at the end of the table's meal, your father says to you, "Children, this is the last time that I'll ever eat a meal with you on earth, because I'm going away. You will not see me again. Ever." I think you would be sad, won't you? I think you would be so troubled, you couldn't sleep that night. You would just paw your dad around his neck and say, "Daddy, don't go away. Please." Right? Can you now feel a little bit what the disciples felt? Jesus had his last supper with him. And he says at that table, "Brothers, it's the last time I'll eat this meal with you. And we'll never eat it again. I'm going to leave you. And we will not see each other again in this life." So the disciples were sad. They were very troubled. They were fearful because they felt like little boys left alone in a dangerous world. Because a lot of people were very angry at the disciples. Why? Because they loved Jesus. And as they were going to do things with Jesus, so they were going to do things with the disciples. They were afraid. Now that's, at that moment, Jesus is walking with the disciples out of that last room, and he's on his way to the Gethsemane garden. At least that's what they think when the ones who are explaining this chapter 14, that he's on the way walking and talking. Let's read together from John 14, the scripture that this morning we will mainly consider. It is John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." This is the sixth of Jesus' I am statements, of the formal I am statements. There's a couple more I ams, as you have seen. But this is the sixth one of those very worthy sayings in which he says, "I am." Children, what does that mean again, "I am"? I am. Who said I am? I mean, that's how God spoke about himself way back to Moses in the burning bush. I am. And Jesus has identified himself to be the one that was in that bush. I am. I am Jehovah. And you notice later in this chapter that Philip is a little bit confused. He says, "Oh Lord, thou always talking about the Father. Show us the Father. Let us see him a little bit. This is like what Moses said, show us thy glory. Show us the Father." And then Jesus gives us a very simple answer. "You see me? You've seen everything you get to see from the Father. There is no more to be seen than me. I and the Father are together. I am the visible face of the Father, because the Father is a spirit. We will never see him." See? The disciples were confused. And in that, Jesus gives us this instruction this morning. "I am the way." Now, let's look at this verse this morning. Let's think about the destination of the way. I am the way. And way always goes somewhere. So where does this go, this way? Secondly, what are the details of the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then thirdly, this way is to be used. So let's think about the use of the way. So as I said, congregation, the verses found in the middle of a walk as Jesus walks and talks with his disciples on the way to Gethsemane. His beloved master feels what goes on in the heart of his disciples. They're heavy-hearted. He can sense that. And so he begins this word, "Let not your heart be troubled. That you believe in God, believe in me also. Don't be troubled. Put away your thoughts and troubles." And then Jesus says something that sounds very, very familiar to any young man. Perhaps Peter, John, James would all remember these words. Which words? "I go to prepare a place for you." You know what? They said it themselves years ago. These very words that Jesus speaks, "I go to prepare a place for you." All of these men, which I think all of them were married, would have said these very words themselves. When? Oh, boys, someday you might ask a young lady for her hand. You fall in love with her, and you see her, and you go ask her, "Would you marry me?" In the Bible time, that was always done also, but a little bit different than in our days. You take your dad along, boys. That's maybe a little safer. But it was also necessary because there was some price to be paid, which hopefully today is no more the case. So as that fathers and son and father and daughter would have a little meeting together, then the father would pour a cup of wine, and he would give that to his son. The son would drink half of it, and then no doubt with a trembling hand, he would walk up to that young lady, and he would give it to her. And if she took it, and if she drank the other half, then she said to him with that, "I'll marry you." Now remember that, congregation, that is the background, a little bit, of the Lord's Supper, which is the engagement meal. Now what would happen at that moment? That young man would look at his future wife, or fiancé, we'd say, and look in her eyes and he'd say, "I'm going home. I'm going to build a house. And when that's finished, we'll get married." You see, the disciples would have said this themselves. And then they would go home, and they would build a house. And then when everything is ready, then the day of the wedding would come. Unannounced to the young lady, she didn't know when. She just had to be ready every day. Between this point and the wedding day. Every day. She could hear the shofar, the trumpet coming down the road for her husband to come get her. See? I thought these words are sounding somewhat familiar to the disciples. "If I go, my father's house were many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. And whither you go, I go, ye know. And the way ye know." So Jesus says in verse 4, "And you know where I'm going. And you know the way that I am going." Thomas says, "But Lord, wait a moment. We don't know the way. Thou hast too much. No, we don't know. We do not know where thou goest. And how can we know the way?" Thomas is a little surprised and a little amazed. How think thou so highly about us, Lord? We don't know the way. Maybe Jesus kind of said this purposely in verse 4. To bring out the question. He says, "You know the way." Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know the way." "You know where I go." Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where thou art going." And congregation, notice then how sweetly Jesus deals with his disciples. So by meditating on these verses, I'm trying to think about Jesus, the way he speaks to them. Thomas is troubled, torn, fearful, not sure. Does the Lord know that they don't understand? You know how gentle Jesus is in this chapter? So sweetly, gently, does he deal with these men. Doesn't rush them. Doesn't push them. Just gently repeats again and again the message. It's like Isaiah said, he doesn't break a bruised reed. He leads their tormented and fearful hearts that struggle with these darknesses and doubts. And so in this context then, Jesus speaks about where he is going. Where is he going? Father's house. An exceeding sweet place. Father's house. Children, think a moment with me. Jesus is going to his Father's house. Where did he come from? Where did Jesus come from? He came from the Father's house. He's been there before. He used to be the delight of his Father, says in Proverbs. His Father and him were face to face, it says in the beginning of the John. The Word was with God. They were in communion. So what is Jesus really saying? I'm going home to my Father's house. Think of what that meant for the Lord himself. The Father's house is where the Father lives. That's what makes it so attractive to Jesus. It's not just the house that he wants. He wants the Father of the house. Let's ask ourselves that question for a moment here. There's so many people that want to go to heaven. Maybe you want to go to heaven too, children. I hear often that I want to go to heaven. I sometimes hear children pray about that. Lord, help us to go to heaven. But what is so heavenly about heaven? Well, what is the chief beauty of heaven? Are we also so attracted to the Father of heaven? Is he the one that stirs our longing to have God in communion and to live with him? Beware of imagining that you're on the way to heaven. Wow, we have absolutely no admiration and love for the God of heaven. Now, that's a sore point for many to find out too late. We just don't go to heaven. We go to meet God in heaven. And if there's no relationship with God, there will be no heaven. And if I don't walk the way to God, there will be no heaven. For no man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus says. See, this way to heaven is Christ. Congregation, before we look at the details, there is no more glorious truth than God the Father. No person is more glorious than the Father. Now, when we read Father, let's remind that in the Greek says Abba. Do you know, children, that if you would live in Jewish land, you wouldn't call your dad Dad. You would call your dad Abba. That's a normal word that every boy and girl who call their father with, Abba. That's quite remarkable that Jesus calls God Abba. In my family, that would be Papa. In your family, that would be Daddy. Abba. That is the consistent way by which Jesus speaks about God in his gospel message. That was so new. No one ever spoke about God that way. It was a Jehovah, right? And that is a very majestic name. But the Jews were so fearful to even use that name, they wouldn't even use that name. And comes Jesus. He says, but don't forget that Jehovah is Abba, Father. Now what does Father suggest? Father suggests love. someone for you. Someone who sacrifices. Someone who is committed. Someone who lays down everything to protect his brood, his children. Someone who loves, even when you fail. Someone who opens his arms, even when you walked away from him. Father, such a loaded word, Abba, that speaks of God's gentleness, God's strength, God's joy. And the Abba's house, that is a house of love, house of peace and unity, a house in which all of the children are together. And in a house where the father loves all the children the same way. That's the father's house and the father. Now that's the picture Jesus has in mind. And he says, look, I go to prepare a place for you. In my father's house are many mansions. And if it were not told you, if it were not so, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Do we meditate enough about that, children of God, this Abba? Do we approach God in this revelation of himself, Abba, Father? Do we think enough about this Father house as we're coming to the Lord's table again in a couple of weeks? That's where he said that. I go to prepare a place for you. I keep this cup and your wine in your midst as a reminder. I'm coming one day. And we will be together to have the meal of fellowship forever. Now, what are the details of the way in which Jesus speaks about going to the Father? And then we come to our text. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, when Jesus declares of being the way, that implies a few things. Let's think that first. That implies that either we lost the way, or we don't have a way. Now, both of them are true. We lost the way, and we don't have a way back to God. Let's think about that. We lost the way. Are you discovering that already? What is now the real problem in our life? We have problems. All of us have problems. Every week there are more problems. Yeah, basically living is problem solving. You think about it. Then this breaks, and then this goes wrong, and then that is, the relationship is tense, and then this is set, and that is set. Every day is problem solving. Our whole life is full of it. Why is that? Because we're lost the way. We're out of the way. We are walking in the wilderness, no more in paradise. And of course, we all try to make the best of it. But we are not making it any better. We are investing all our life long. And guess what, children? At the end of it, you are going to be in that same casket everybody else ends up in. So really, in a certain sense, all we do in this life ends up to be failing to solve the problems, because the ultimate problem we can't solve. And why is that? Because we lost the way. Let's face it. This is why we have these problems all the time long in our life. We live with brokenness and unfixableness, and it is sometimes so vain and dissatisfying. And the reason is we rebelled, and God ousted us out of paradise, and the door is closed. Here we are, trying to survive in a world of problems. And is there a way out? Mankind hasn't found any way out. We are in 2019, we're still struggling with the same thing Solomon struggled with, and the same thing Abram struggled with, and the same things Adam and Eve struggled with after they fell. We haven't made a stitch of progress to deal with the problems that we are dealing with in our daily life. The wages of sin is death. And death means separation from God the Father. Death is that we are having no relationship with Him. So that's our problem. We've lost the way and we are separated from God. Now the second problem we have, that we don't have a way back. There's no way back from us. Are you discovering that you don't have a way back to God? The old way of the covenant of works is closed. We can't merit, earn our place back with God. It is impossible because we fail every day to keep His law and to do what He's asking us. Isn't this a frustrating problem? It is a burdensome problem. No, it is a damning problem. It's not just an inability issue, it's a guilty issue. Here, we not only have a problem, we make our problem worse every day because we continue to sin in our lives. So, are you discovering that we can't earn our way back with God? The doors of heaven is shut against all that are guilty. On the door of heaven it says, here only holiness enters. And we are not holy. That's our third problem. There's a sword of justice standing before the door, and the door says, here enters only what is perfectly holy. We aren't. That's our third problem. We have a heart that is unholy. We have a heart that is broken. We are no fit company for the Father and to be in the Father's house. You know that. If you could for a moment think back about the thoughts you've had since you came into this building, since you listened to this sermon, how many thoughts have entered in here already that you wouldn't dare to write on the white wall down here? We're no fit company to be in the Father's house with a heart like this. You see our problem? The way lost, the way closed, and a heart that doesn't fit. Three counts against us to enter with fellowship into the house and heavenly home of the Father. Then Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. Indeed, no man comes to the Father, but by me it is possible. I am the way for you. Let's sing. Let's sing first before we consider that. 65, verse 1. Through far. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey and his testimony heed. Psalter 65, 1 through 4. the blessed news that Jesus came to bring is, I am the way. Now notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, I know the way. That's the way to go, brothers. I do not know the way to the way. We can say that to each other. We can tell others about the way. But no one can say, I am the way. You hear that? See that difference of saying that is the way, or there you must go, or that is the way? No, I am the way. It's the good news. Jesus says, I don't save by my teaching. I don't save you by my 10 steps. As people develop programs, ideas, do this, your problems are over. The gospel, my friend, is not a good advice. The gospel message is not just a beautiful philosophy of thinking. If Jesus would teach that, you throw you right back at yourself. All those things, you still have to do it. All those ideas and philosophies and teachings, methods, throws you back at yourself. You know what the gospel is? It's good news. About something. About someone, in this case. Jesus. The gospel is not a task you must do. Let's keep that in mind. The gospel is not a mission you and I have to accomplish. The gospel is not a standard I need to meet. Somehow, working myself up to become that standard or reach that standard. That's not the gospel. Gospel is not a certain way through which you have to go. Has to go such and that and this. This is the gospel. Jesus, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The good news, congregation, is all and only about Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Your hope, lost sinner, and your hope, Thomas, is through who I am and what I do. Not in who you are and what you do. That's what we learned at Martha's confession already. Martha looked at that dead bone or dead grave of Lazarus. Jesus says, turn away from that, Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. It's not about that reality. It's about this reality, who I am and what I do. And see, every time of these statements, Jesus reminds us, I am who I am, and that is your hope. And I do what I do, and that is also your hope. I came into this world not to be a good advisor, to show you and to help you into the right direction. I came to be the way. And what is that then, the way? My person, my work, removes the obstacles for you to return to the Father's heart. I am the way to return to God. That sounds simple, but that's not that simple, is it? The Father has high standards, children. God the Father, that is. And maybe your father does too. And it's okay. I had a father who had high standards for me. And I had to work hard to get there. That's okay. You have a father like that. But guess what? God the Father has higher standards than your father will ever have for you. Why? What's his standard? perfection. No more, no less. The only way we will see His face, be in His presence, live in His house, we have to be perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. Well, that's no good news. No, that's the bad news. Because you and I can never reach that standard. That's the bad news. You seeing it? Now the good news. I am the standard. That's what Jesus says. I am the way, that means I am the standard. And he that cometh unto this perfect Father through me will be embraced by him. I am the way, that means to be accepted with the Father is only if you walk, now I'll say this literally, on me, because I'm the way. That picture. Only when you come to the path, Jesus, will you get to the door of the Father's mansion. That's what he says. Isn't that beautiful? What do I have to do to make this way? No, no, no make any way. I am the way. It's made already. It's laid down. Jesus is that way. And all he's asking us, it's all he asks us, walk on me. I am the way. The only way you can come to my Father, if you come through the door, remember heard that before? I am the door. And I am the way. Same thing, really. Keeps on repeating the same thing because we're so slow to learn. For all these seven statements are always the same. We have one more to go. Out of John 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Same thing again. It's always the same message in different words. Because we need to be reminded. I am the way. The only way to life, children, back again to this Father. How can I come into the Father's presence? Only if we do enough obedience to please Him. Ah, is He so hard to please? That was the original way God made us. He's not hard to please. That's how we agreed it in paradise. You keep my commandments and I promise you life. He made us perfect, beautiful, able to do his labor without any difficulty. That requirement is still standing. Do this and you shall live. Do this? Pastor, I cannot do that. I cannot have a clean mind. I cannot always be obedient. I cannot love the way I should. I cannot be praying the way I should be praying. I cannot. I don't have enough to do. I cannot do any enough. I never can do enough. Are you really with me this morning? Is that the discouraging you feel? Is this where you feel yourself sink because you don't do enough and you're not good enough and you never reach the level of enough? Now listen to what Jesus says. I am enough. I am the way. That means I've done enough. I've done everything. I lay down my life and I live my whole life to bring enough in my priestly work, my friend, forgiveness, and to receive forgiveness is not because your heart is to be more sorrowful. To receive forgiveness is not because you must be more broken and more humbled. To receive forgiveness is only possible when someone takes your place. And that's why I came for. As a priest, I am the way. I am the way. Oh, beloved, if we seek to come to the Father without walking the way, Jesus, you know what you're trying to do? If you are trying to come to God without depending on Jesus, you're trying to create a universe without being God. Let me repeat that. If you and I are trying to come to the Father with anything other than Jesus and His righteousness and His merits and His blood and His atonement, you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to create a universe without being God. That's impossible. And this is impossible. Only no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way. And why is it the only way? Well, that's the only truth, obviously. As Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the word truth and the word life really only details this way. He is the way in that He is the truth. He tells the truth. He is the truth. And it is a truth that sets free. We close the door with our debts. We cannot satisfy God's holiness. We cannot pay the price against God's judgment. I am the truth. I came to give my life. I am the way, the truth, and that leads to life. Life eternal. The life of communion. The life of acceptance. The life of dwelling in this Father's house. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hear me. I came to undo all your burdens and to take the sin. And I came to lay down my life, and I came to minister and to give myself. Look therefore to me. I am the way, and I lead to life by telling you this truth about myself and about what I do. What a wonderful way this is. And let's not forget that this wonderful way did not begin with Jesus. Where then? It began with the Father. Let's not forget. It's the Father who laid down the way. It's the Father who gave His Son to be the way. It's the Father who spared not His own Son and now seeks to incline your heart to walk on the way He laid. He Himself laid. No, congregation. We don't have to conquer the heart of the Father. He's trying to conquer your heart. We don't have to incline Him. He's seeking to incline you. And may the Spirit of God do so this morning. It's a wonderful way. Every Old Testament sinner has walked on this way from Abel onward. Even though Jesus hasn't come yet, of course, in the Old Testament, the Lamb had been slain from the foundations of the world, so every Old Testament believer was, as it were, saved on credit. On what was to come. It's the same way in the Old as it is in the New. I am that only way, that sacrifice, that blood sacrifice that was brought. And though this way is old, it never becomes outdated. Listen to what Jesus says. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Be not fearful. It's a safe way. You will not perish when you walk in this way and come before God through Jesus Christ. No, He doesn't consider your poverty nor your riches when you come before Him. See, the Pharisees, they came with their riches. Are you still? He will not consider that even. There is no way He will come close to Him. There are others who come with their poverty. Are you like the Gibeonites who came to Joshua and tricked him with their poverty? We're trying to show the Lord our poverty, to incline our heart to us. That's wrong. You won't do anything with the Lord by showing your poverty, because guilt is all dripping off of that. No, the only way that we can safely approach to God the Father, friends, if we come with the Lamb of God. I heard you today, the old Reverend Hellenbrook said something that was quite curious. So I don't know how true it was, and he didn't know either, perhaps. But he says that in his days he heard that the only thing that would quiet a raging elephant was the sight of a little lamb. I don't know if true or not, I haven't tried. But the application he made was beautiful. He says the only thing that will quiet a God who is angry with your sin is the Lamb of God. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is the way. Be reminded, it's a living way. It's not just a way. It is a living person. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the mediator who rose, who died and rose and ascended. And he lives always to make intercession at the right hand of the Father. But be alert, it's also a narrow way. Everything of us has to go on that way. We take nothing along. Oh dear, this is so hard to learn. It's the gospel is in some way so simple and yet so difficult. Because it's so against our inbred feeling of I have to do something. I have to show something. I have to bring something. I have to somehow really make myself worthy of this. It's so in us, isn't it? And it's so contrary to the gospel. God doesn't seek anything in you and me. Because nothing in you and me can exist in his presence anymore. It's all sin. But now he provided his Lamb, the way, the truth, and the life. And let us conclude with that then in this morning. No matter how good, and no matter how beautiful the destination of a road is, it's only good when you use it. Right? I mean, we can have the most beautiful description of the road. We can have a beautiful description of the destination of the road, the Father's house, the Father's mansions. But if you don't use it, then it's just no any good. Let me ask you, are you using the way? Are you walking on this way? As we come near to God in prayer, as we seek him, are we consciously walking on the way, on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the truth he has taught about himself? I am. I came not to give my, I came to give my life as a ransom. Are we consciously seeking the life by looking to him alone? To use it. You say, how do I know this then? How do I know if I'm using this way? Well, let me ask you three questions. This will identify if you are using this way. And you need to ask yourself in very face of God in your conscience. As you seek the return to God, are you consciously trusting or looking, perhaps, at anything of yourself? Are we sometimes thinking, there's a little hope for me, because really I had this very special moment in my life that really my heart melted away under the goodness of God. That's lovely. I wish I had a lot of those moments. But let's learn, it has no value in coming to God. It has value, but it's not the way. We trust on that, and if we secretly trust on that, you walk in darkness. Because God is jealous of Christ. He doesn't allow anything else on that way. There's only one name given under heaven among men. And I will not come to the Father's throne because my name is Arnoud Vergunst. And he has done this and that and experienced such and so. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Search your heart before the Lord this week. Lord, am I walking in this way only? In seeking for God's forgiveness, in undoing all your wrong, are you more and more standing next to the publican in the temple? Don't just say his words. That's not what I'm saying. We can say his words beautifully over and over. That's not what I'm saying. But as I stand in the consciousness of my own life, and I see my own way, and I see my own pride, and I see my own covetousness, and I see my own uncleanness, and I see everything that's wrong with me. Do you see that? And does that make me more and more bow next to that publican, saying, "Oh Lord, be merciful for Jesus' sake, Jesus' sake"? That's said so often in our prayers, right? For Jesus' sake, amen. No. Let's think about that. Is this really, really, really the only reason I am laying these petitions before God with any hope of answer? Is only because Jesus' sake. I admit, there are times I think my prayers will be more likely to be answered when I can have a little tear with my prayer. Then I get up off my knees and say, "Now that was a nice time of prayer. I really could feel it." And then it is subtle, and maybe that went into the heart of God a little bit more than the other prayers. I'm wrong. It may have gone not as far at all. It may have not gotten to the door. If it was not based on the blood of Jesus only. Jesus only. In seeking admittance to that Father's house, congregation, if our chief desire, the fellowship with God, or is it just heaven I'm looking for? Now don't make me wrong. I'm looking for heaven too. I'm sometimes so sick of this world and of all what goes wrong in this world, that there are times you long to be in the heavenly mansion. There's nothing wrong with that desire. But is our chief desire to worship the God of heaven in purity and perfection, no more clogged down by our own sins and own distractions and everything else that's wrong with us? Is it really to do about this Father of this heaven? Lee mansion. And beloved, if now your heart may in some degree answer and say, "Yeah, I cannot deny this, and if I don't deceive myself, these are the exercises of my soul," then let not your heart be troubled anymore. You believe in God, you believe in Him. And why not troubled, and why comforted? For the only reason that you and I long for that way and long for the Father at the end of the way is because the Father longs for you. That's why. Amen. Let's pray. We worship Thee, O gracious God and Father. Thou knowest how deceitful our hearts are and how crooked and how circular our reasoning is, Lord. Thy word is so clear. No good cometh from this tree forever. And yet if those exercises of grace and prayer and faith in the use of the way, in the looking into the life,
in Jesus Christ are found in us. And let us teach us to trace the stream back to the fountain. And Lord, that is the only reason we can be comforted and strengthened this morning. Teach us how to use the way daily, hourly. Teach us to be always on this way. To be exercised, Lord, in faith with this for Jesus' sake. And we confess, Lord, that that is so often said in our prayers without a single thought. But teach thou us afresh to make use of the mercy seat and of the blood of Christ to approach to thee. And Lord, let that also become what thou would teach all of us here present. Also those to whom thou art a total stranger. O gracious God, bless this morning's message. And may we walk not away, but may we walk more toward thee this morning. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Let's sing Psalter 415, verse 4 and 5. Good and upright is Jehovah. And what follows in verses 4 and 5 of 415.
Upright is Jehovah in it. Oh,
Receive the Lord's blessing. Let us go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.